Hello and welcome back to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, and sitting next to me is Mr. James Bunnell. We've had a playoff week.
We have had one whole playoff week.
It was sort of a boring one.
It's pretty boring. I gotta say, the playoffs this year are pretty boring.
Well, I'm not willing to write the whole thing off. That first week is often boring, because you get kind of less exciting teams, you know.
Statistically speaking, we have had a couple of interesting things happen in the playoff week.
I mean, we had the best defensive performance that's ever been had.
Yes.
In a playoff game by the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had
a third string quarterback starting. We had three/four string quarterbacks starting for a team that at the, you know, halfway through the season, people were like, they could totally play a home Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
Not gonna happen.
Weird. Yeah. That was weird. Anyway, the most notable thing that happened, and what we're going to spend this whole podcast talking about, I think, is that picked up pass interference call.
Yeah.
And or never was a pass interference call.
I think technically it has to be a never was pass interference call, because you're not allowed to pick up pass interferences.
Yeah. So, I mean, the referees can do what they want.
It's true. If this were like baseball, I mean, I know a lot more about the rules of baseball than I do the rules of football.
So let's assume that it is.
Let's assume like it's like the rules of baseball. Any referee in baseball can ask for help from any other referee, and any call can be overturned for any reason, basically.
I think we should assume that in the rules of football, any referee can dictate what happened on the field, regardless of what had just happened in front of people's eyes.
Yeah, you know? I think probably it's, you know, the NFL is a very philosophical organization, you know, very sophistry-full organization, right? So why bother kowtowing to these perceived realities of the masses when the referees are the final arbiters? They obviously know the truth. They should be able to dictate what happened.
I agree. Or do I? So what we're going to talk about is pass interference and what we should do with it.
Yeah.
I think we can agree that it's out of control.
Yeah. I'm going to quote a good friend of ours, a friend of the podcast, whose name will be altered for privacy reasons, and say that pass interference is a strange penalty because the defense's job is to interfere with the passing of the offense, right? So it seems kind of weird that there's a penalty for doing it. It's like penalizing a defender for literally doing his job.
Run interference when you tackle a guy.
Yeah, that's run interference right there. Where's the calls for that, huh? Answer that question, Goodell, and I'll give you $10.
But I think we can agree that receivers should be allowed to run their routes, at least to some degree.
Yeah, obviously, in any sport, you know, the rules are arbitrary, right? We've decided that we're trying to achieve a goal, and we've artificially limited our ways to achieve this goal. Because otherwise, the sport would just turn into, like, a murder ball, and it would be bad, because people would die, which is a bad thing.
We're pretty sure.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, usually a bad thing.
Usually a bad thing. But, you know, at some point, you know, you shouldn't be able to punch the receiver in the head when he's trying to catch the football.
Or maybe ever.
You shouldn't be able to, you know, kick him in the knees really hard. You know, no Karate Kid sweep the leg nonsense. But at some point, you gotta let the defenders play football, right? You gotta let them go after the ball. You gotta let them do what they can do. And pass interference, it just seems like it's so... Even more, it's a whole other, you know, it's the next higher ordinal of arbitrary, right? All right. After the normal one.
So, let's come up with our own arbitrary rules. No, okay. I don't know. It would be nice to come up with rules that are less arbitrary. That would be the best case scenario.
Yeah. And it requires us deciding, you know, what, where do we draw the line between what is playing good defense and what is, you know, being abusive of another human being.
All right, let me give you proposal number one.
Yeah.
No more illegal contact.
Okay.
Unless you knock a player down.
I like that.
But now there's a lot of flopping.
Yeah.
But a receiver has to choose, like, if they're going to flop
or try to catch the ball. Yeah, I know. And I know no one likes the fouling situation in basketball, but it brings us a little closer to something that a lot of people have more experience with, right?
Yeah.
The whole, it's not a foul if you don't go, you know, it's like the charging setting a pick kind of thing.
Maybe the rule should just be block charge.
Block charge?
Would that work? I guess it wouldn't.
It probably wouldn't, because who could ever have their feet set?
Probably never, so it's probably not a feasible solution. No. All right, well, so what's wrong? Okay, so I think we have to get to the core of what's wrong.
Right.
Here, right. And what's wrong is that different amounts of contact are allowed at different times.
Yes.
And
that's a
problem. When the cornerback is facing in different directions basically matters for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So
that's a problem.
I'm just trying to think. So, because the easiest thing to do would, I mean, what was the rule before they put in offensive holding or whatever? There was an old, back in the long olden days, you could make any amount of contact until the ball was thrown,
yeah.
I think?
Mm-hmm. That used to be the rule.
What was wrong with that rule?
Was it just that they knocked
everyone down?
I guess it's because maybe you get knocked down a lot, but at the same time, I don't know, it's football. Maybe that's not so bad a thing, mm-hmm. right? And the other thing that rule helps deal with is in my head, these two things are related, though it's not really pass interference. It's the illegal blocking downfield that receivers get called for on screen plays mm-hmm. a lot. If the pass isn't thrown in time, and then you get these guys who are just playing football. Like, they're not actually doing anything illegal. They're just doing something that's legal like 90% of the time, except for right when they happen to be doing it, which is kind of dumb, right? And you know, going back to this, before the ball is thrown, you know, normal amounts of football contact are legal thing seems to solve a lot of problems, right? I mean, you don't have any more defensive holding, you don't have any more of this illegal contact nonsense.
But then you're asking the referees to keep track of two things at once, right? So
true.
The referees downfield have to figure out if the contact goes past when the ball's thrown. And the cornerbacks don't really know when the ball is going to be thrown.
That's true. And that's one of the key things with the one of the most, you know.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about that solution, I guess. Just because I think it's too hard to keep track of, and then
right.
like you could do it on instant replay, but it's like
that's a
it
mess.
Would be impossible to adjudicate at any point. Let me give you a crazy one.
Yeah.
All right. I think you're gonna love this.
Okay.
I think it would be a disaster, but I think you're gonna love it.
Okay.
No more pass interference at all.
Okay.
Only unnecessary roughness.
All right.
Okay. All players are eligible receivers.
I do love that. Because
you'd be expecting your receivers to get knocked down a lot.
A lot, yeah. It would change sort of the shape of the NFL receiver corps, right?
Yeah.
We would stop having tall, fast, skinny guys, and we would start, like, the Gronkowskis of the world would dominate everything.
Yeah,
like,
and in that case, there's clearly no offensive pass interference either. So
right.
if you're a Gronkowski, you can just throw the guy covering you to the ground and then
and run away, yeah. It would probably be the rise of the tight end and the end of the, you know, that would make Calvin Johnson probably the last great wide receiver we'd ever see.
But the thing is, see, the problem is that I still like wide receivers and people running down the field, and you're never going to get that in a case where you're allowing huge
amounts of contact. Yeah. I think you have sort of hit the nail on the head with a lot of what is upsets people about the pass interference things, is that during the play, what's allowed and what isn't allowed changes over the course of the play. And it's like what you were saying about how if we just went back to the old rule about anything's allowed before you touch the ball, the referees have to keep track of what's happening to know if that thing that the cornerback did was legal then or not legal then, right? And we get into the situations that people hate the most, where a cornerback is running really tight coverage with a wide receiver and just isn't looking behind him, and the ball hits the cornerback in the head, and he gets called for pass interference because he didn't look to see the ball. But, like, that's dumb. Obviously, he was running really good coverage. You should reward him for that. Mm. It's like, so I agree that the secret is probably to find some way to remove all of the contingencies about when things become legal during a passing play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know what that solution would be.
All right. We're going to
have another
in a
one.
Second here.
Yeah.
No more defensive holding.
Okay.
Pass interference. Oh, this is a little tricky. So I was going to say pass interference is when you is only the grabbing the arm type,
yeah,
which we see, which I think everyone should, I think I can, that's, I feel pretty good about the grabbing the arm type being, but you still shouldn't be allowed to just go right through a player either.
Yeah.
Although,
actually, I don't know though.
I will say, I'm not crazy about this thing where you can just underthrow a person and kind of get the pass interference. And get the pass interference thing.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb. Player. I think you may be onto something. I think we have holding rules that we apply to the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
What if those rules are the same rules that apply to the cornerbacks, but like those are the only rules? So like no grabbing of the jerseys, mm-hmm. no hitting of the extremities if you're the cornerback, if you're the defensive cornerback. What if contact to the chest is allowed, no grabbing? It's just like you're a defensive lineman. Only
are you allowed to charge straight through them though?
Yeah, I think that allows for the charging straight through, and I think that that's I know that it would eliminate the I don't know, it would, wide receivers would get knocked down at the line more, right?
But so here's a question I have about real football. Why do, that's legal now, right? If you're within 5
true,
yards,
actually,
you're allowed to knock them down now.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why
problem,
that doesn't happen.
I guess.
So I think that players can get around that.
Yeah.
I think that the receivers who are good are able to avoid that. Because otherwise you would just do it all the time.
I mean, let's just think about it. If I'm Calvin Johnson and Leon Hall comes charging straight at me, and I take like a step to the left and he misses me, then all of a sudden I have an open field in front of me and I'm Calvin Johnson. So
right. So I think that you can, you know, if we're able to allow any amount of contact within the 5 yards, or at least much more contact, we should be able to allow that amount of contact later on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we should be able to just say, don't grab around the player or whatever to keep you from catching it. And, you know, to get open, you just have to either...
You got
to
be
past a person, or you have to get behind them, maybe because they tried to jam you at a time that you weren't prepared for. It still would help the tight ends a little more, but you'd be able to run the routes still. So that's, I think we're probably getting there with that one.
Yeah. And I don't know that it's really a problem if we're helping tight ends. I could see the resurgence of passing tight ends like Kellen Winslow, and maybe we get another Tony Gonzalez up in this league.
Let me give you another bad suggestion.
Yeah.
All right. No contact allowed.
Okay.
However, the offense has to tell the defense what routes the receivers are running.
I actually really like that one.
Both players can look back at the quarterback because they have to run the same route.
Run the same route. I actually really like that. And then you get penalized. It's like baseball. If you leave the base path, it's ruled an illegal catch or something.
Yep.
I really like that. I know there's no good way to signal that before the play, right? Like,
I know,
you have like guys like pointing across the field at each other.
Well, maybe this is in future football where we can light up the routes on the...
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No,
I
like that.
Or even just say, maybe you could even just have zones. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the receivers are only allowed to run in certain zones. And then you could get rid of pick plays, too.
Two,
which have that whole weird offensive pass interference rule
thing.
That no one enforces.
Which is dumb. Yeah.
Because I do feel like a cornerback would be... Part of the reason they have to... They're always looking at the receiver and therefore getting called for pass interference is because they don't know the routes.
Right. And that's why coverage is so hard. That's why, like, it really is... You know, there's the old adage that, like, even the best secondary can't cover receivers for more than 3 or 4 seconds. Like, just because the receiver has all the control. I like the zones. I like the restricting receivers to certain zones, and that could be a thing.
Yeah, because then
cornerbacks
would be able to play those areas much more effectively, and you could mark them on the field.
You could mark them on the field, or it could be a thing that could be determined by formations. I mean, like we have the pocket, you know,
Where you line up initially.
Yeah,
so you might be able to line up one way and have a guy motion into one of the other starting zones, and therefore be able to run a different route,
right?
And mess
exactly.
with the defense. So. I actually think that's vaguely workable.
Yeah, I actually really like that idea, too.
And that would give, you know, it gives the defense an advantage. It does take out a lot of kind of well-known plays.
Yes.
Although, if there's three zones, right, if you imagine that there's three zones and they're basically, like, hash marks.
Yeah.
And then
outside the hash marks,
or maybe it's a little wider, but it's, you know, it's like that. You would still be able to run crossing stuff in the middle.
Yeah.
With that.
It wouldn't be that bad. And once you've caught the ball, you can leave the zone, obviously.
Yeah. So.
But.
And you can always pitch it.
And you can always pitch it.
Which we're in favor of.
Yeah, any rules that encourage more pitching, we're always in favor of here at the podcast.
Yeah.
So there you go, NFL. That's two good suggestions for you. One for whichever way you want to go. You want to go heavy contact? Then you just say, everybody's treated like defensive lineman and offensive lineman. And holding is the only thing that you can get called for. And all penalties are holding. All penalties are holding.
People love holding so much.
People love holding so much.
Yeah, we should give one little nod to the... I don't even remember who wrote this, so I'll say Bill Barnwell.
Yeah.
For better or for worse, a long time ago, wrote a thing where he suggested going back to the rules where you can make any contact until the ball's thrown, which, as we said, have issues, but also just getting rid of offensive holding.
Yeah.
Just say forget it. Just no more offensive holding.
Screw it.
You're allowed to do it. Because that penalty is a mess, too. And the easiest solution to the fact that that penalty is a mess is to just allow it.
Yeah, is to just say that this is part of the game, and then the defense will find solutions.
Yeah, I mean, it's still... The defense can still overload those players and not get held. Like, it's the defense...
You've only got two hands. Can get around. There's three guys around you. You can only hold two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, the league is always, you know, talking about how they have the stupid rules for protecting the quarterbacks because they're worried about the excitement and security of the league or whatever. So, you know, offensive holding protects the quarterbacks more. So, you know, that argument doesn't work, Goodell.
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the other penalty that really needs looking at. But the problem is that one's so much harder to work on because there's so little you can do, right? There's already a pretty good definition. The problem is it just happens all the time.
It happens all the time, and it's really hard to see, even though there's basically two referees responsible for looking at it on every play. It still gets missed or improperly called, and it's just because you've got, you know, five offensive linemen and between three and seven defensive linemen running at them, and you just...
But I do think it makes sense to combine one of the receiver improving systems for pass interference with the, or no, I'm sorry, the making it worse harder on receivers plans
with making it easier
for the quarterback to stay up longer plan.
Yeah,
because if you have the plan that we suggested where there's like much more contact allowed, basically everything but holding allowed, now there's only holding on the line.
Yeah,
but. You know, your receivers have enough time to throw off a hold.
Yeah.
Or, you know, to throw
maybe
off
even
a player.
Literally throw off
maybe,
a hold. Yeah,
maybe literally knock down a player and get open because now the quarterback has more time. And I think that would be achievable.
I think so, too. I actually think it would make the league more... I think it would make the offense more exciting.
Yeah.
It would require more... You know, it would allow for... The thing that appeals to people about football is the physicality of football, right? Mm-hmm. And the most frustrating thing about the pass interference is... It can take the physicality out of the game, right?
Yeah, and you can get called for it with so little physicality.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It can
like
be just the littlest.
Yeah,
thing.
You know.
So
yeah.
All right, we've got it.
That's it. That's the solution, NFL.
To everything.
To everything.
To
well,
penalties.
there's one other major thing that maybe needs to be talked about, which is
unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well, yes. Okay. Two other things.
We've talked about that 100 times. I don't want to talk about that again.
Yeah. Should the other thing we could talk about is should the quarterback have special protections, and when do those special protections go away if they become a ball carrier?
Mm.
Right? Because now, I'm just going to say this. One of the silliest penalties that you can ever see is the outside linebacker comes charging, or the defensive end comes charging off the line on like a big sort of pincer thing and comes at the quarterback and sees at the last second that the quarterback has thrown the ball when the defender's like two steps away from him. And he makes... You know, he's running full tilt straight at the quarterback and does his best to change direction to get out of the way. And his, you know, arm grazes the quarterback's head, like, after the ball's been thrown. And that's 15 yards added to the end of the play. That's unnecessary roughness.
We can just go back to my original solution. All of these only get called if you get knocked down.
And
then there'll be a lot of flopping.
And there'll be a lot
it'll be
of
like
flopping.
Soccer, basically.
Yeah. I think it should be... I mean, like, we already have... I had two thoughts on this. The one is that those penalties should just go away, right?
Well, they can't completely
go away.
I mean, I guess that you could only have unnecessary roughness, right?
Yeah,
so
you could have the same restrictions. You could have, you know, the same, like, spearing and targeting the helmet restrictions that you have on every other player.
Because
consistency is good, NFL. Consistency is good. Or you could, you know, we already have, like, these judgment calls about, like, so, like, you know, a catch isn't a catch until a player makes a football move after the ball. If the defenders make an abortive move, then maybe the penalty doesn't get called, right? If I'm trying to get out, if in the referee's estimation I'm trying to get out of the way, or I'm trying to, I had done something to mitigate my full-on hit to a, well, now I'm just going to brush by your back or something, then maybe the flags, no,
I mean,
no
I would
flags.
Be okay with that. I know the NFL has been trying to move away from those judgment calls, but we recommend it nonetheless.
Yeah, I'm just saying, NFL, again, baseball, basically only judgment calls, so... clearly a sport can survive if you let the referees do their job.
Yeah. Well, basketball too, honestly.
Basketball too.
I mean,
yeah.
Not only, but many of the calls are judgment calls.
Yeah.
So. I think that it wouldn't be a problem. And yeah. I miss that 5-yard face mask. Sometimes that you can tell the difference.
Can we bring back the 5-yard face mask?
Yeah, I
really
think so.
Want it back.
You can tell the difference between
you
the
can.
Two.
You absolutely can.
So, all right. That fixes everything.
That's it. Good thing you listen to this podcast, guys.
It really is.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't, you'd be sitting there thinking football was fine. Yeah. And then you'd feel dumb. And it would just be bad.
Thank you for listening to the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. We will be back sometime. We're definitely going to do a Super Bowl preview where we actually talk about defense. At some point, we'll do another podcast where we actually talk about defensive football. Maybe we'll do the championships in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Yeah, we
maybe we'll.
We should do it. We did all the props last year, and
I
enjoyed that.
We
should do that again. So we'll do that for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
With a focus on the defensive stuff, and maybe we'll talk about the championship games a little bit too.
Can we get a podcast shout out to? I mean, this isn't surprising, but just J.J. Watt, right? Can we get
always.
Listeners? I need you to email your congresspeople, call your local NFL representatives. J.J. Watt needs to be voted league MVP this year because there's really no player that's had more of an impact for their team.
I agree. Aaron Rodgers has a very good chance of winning, and he has a case for it. But
he does.
J.J. Watt's, he's so much better. J.J. Watt's so much more better than the other players at his position that it's like...
That's exactly it. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a spectacular football player. I have no doubt about that. No one plays as consistently good as J.J. Watt does. And I firmly believe that J.J. Watt is responsible for every single win Houston had this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just between his defense and his scoring 3 touchdowns on offense.
Which certainly doesn't hurt.
Which doesn't hurt. Just, we need to get on board with this. Players that don't go to the playoffs can totally win the MVP, guys. And it should be J.J. Watt this year.
Yeah. All right. Your hit of the week. Ryan Lindley.
Yeah, that's a hit.
No, it's not his fault even, but it's just that poor team.
Yeah.
It's brutal. On the plus side, Terrell Suggs caught something with his leg, so
that's
not quite a hit, but it's pretty
impressive. It's pretty good, though, yeah.
So, just watch the Suggs one.
Interception.
Don't watch the Lindley part.
No.
All right, that will do it from Alan.
And James.
Stay low.